just start, ready, fire, aim. Don't overthink it. I was adding value, but it wasn't adding value to my business. Beginning with the end in mind, understanding what you're trying to achieve, how you're trying to achieve it, understanding your avatar or your perfect listener, your perfect client.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Devoted himself to educate and inspire aspiring investors through real estate conference, video, and podcast interviews. Adam A. Adams has been podcasting since 2017 and currently hosts the Apartment Investing Show. In this episode, Adam Adams will share his experience on launching his first podcast and what did he do to make it right.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI Podcast, which is the real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time, for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money, so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Facebook Live. I'm Dan Roshan. Today I am joined with Adam A. Adams, talking about how to launch a successful podcast show. So podcasting 101. Before we dive into that, if you haven't heard of Adam A. Adams, also known as Triple A, that sounds like a wrestling type, type guy there. Adam's been in podcasts since 2017 and hosts the Apartment Investing Show. It's got hundreds of thousands of downloads, and he has been an investor himself. In 2005, Adam got into part-time real estate investing, and it quickly became Adam's passion. And today, he has the company Blue Spruce Holdings. So he's a general partner and been a partner for other syndications as well, multifamily. And teaches a lot on investing specifically. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Before we dive into this, Adam, please tell me that your middle name is not Adam.
I pretend like it's Adamson sometimes, but no, it's Abel.
Adam Abel Adams. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
My pleasure. So podcasting, you've been doing it podcasting since 2017. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Yes. I really wanted to, as a real estate investor, one of the biggest and fastest and best ways to grow your portfolio is to use OPM. We call it other people's money. As I was launching that company, Blue Spruce, and we were planning to raise capital from other people, we thought we're going to need to get out in front of people. We're going to need to have the most amount of people know us. Because no one's going to invest unless they know, like, and trust us. And we figured no better way to get known than to have a thought leadership platform. So we ran a meetup group and started a podcast. The meetup group technically is still there, but since COVID, we haven't really done it. That was our route to get known, to get in front of more potential passive investors. So we launched the Creative Real Estate Podcast in 2017. And just, it was slow, very slow start. At the beginning, I was thinking to myself, well, if we have a podcast, millions of people are going to hear it. They're going to download it. But we had like 20 downloads per episode. And it was basically my mom and my grandma and my friends that were
ordered. And mom and grandma's friends too, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So it was a very slow start. And one of the surprising things that came was that if you build it, they don't automatically come. What's that baseball show that we used to watch? That, yeah, if you build it, they will come. That doesn't quite happen with podcasting. You've got to market it. You've got to do some stuff on your own. And I learned that months into it, and I started doing different marketing, and we ended up growing that show finally until it was in the top 1% among all at the time, 800,000 podcasts. Now there's 1.9 million podcasts, but at the time we grew it to the top 1% and ended up selling the brand, selling that podcast to somebody else who wanted to launch a podcast. He took over all of our listeners and now starting a new podcast called The Apartment Investing Show, which is launching now, and the one called The Podcast on Podcasting. Excited about it.
Well, isn't that redundant for Adam Adams to do the podcasting on podcasting? The podcast on podcasting.
I love that. I love that.
So when you say it took you a while to get from 20 per episode to the top 1%, I'm assuming that there was a little bit of a journey in between the two. Tell us about that. Like, how long did it take you? How many episodes did you do? And what did you do to get it from mom and grandma to top 1% of 800,000?
The first thing that I started doing is I realized that Facebook algorithms preferred going live on Facebook. Anything that Facebook was doing new, like their stories or the live feature, where most people didn't know about it or weren't comfortable doing it, they gave you even more exposure when you did that thing. I said, hey, let's use these algorithms to grow our show. That was the first step that we did. And we went from we went from about 20 downloads per episode to there was about 300 people on the Facebook Live, not while it was live. I think that's important to, maybe there was 10 while it was live or something like that. But it ultimately was getting 100, 200, 300, 500, 700 views on Facebook, which really grew our brand and our exposure. And a lot of the people that came onto some of those Facebook Lives started listening on downloading and subscribing. We quickly went to, you know, 100, 200, 300, 700, 1,000, 3,000 downloads per episode on Apple, which was really helpful for us to be able to grow. So that was part of the first part. That was the biggest first part. And other things that we did were some Facebook. We did Facebook ads. And another thing we did is built our email list and started emailing people when the episode would go live, then we would send it. And so after all of that, we started getting just tons of downloads. And I know I might be skipping ahead to a question that you may already be thinking, or the listener might be thinking, why did we sell it if it was so popular? And it was really because our main goal was to increase our OPM, raising other people's money for the deal. But biggest problem is that the podcast, Creative Real Estate Podcast, doesn't really speak to the person that I wanted to attract. It spoke to my strengths. My strengths were being able to do deals with other people's money, and I was teaching people how to do that. But people with money that wanted to invest weren't saying, oh, creative real estate, that's exactly what I need. And I finally realized that. And it was tough to think, how am I going to kill this show? I spent 4 years building the show. And because we started recording way before we launched the first episode. And so this was like my little baby. I spent time and effort and I loved it. And I loved what it was doing for people. I didn't want to just kill my baby.
So you sold your baby.
I sold it. Yeah. So I waited until I found somebody who could take it over and felt as strongly about the vision that I had as I did. And so we ended up selling it so I could launch the other two podcasts.
Okay. So initially, Facebook Live gave you awareness and you were getting between 1 and 300 views on Facebook Live, not necessarily live yet after it was posted. And Facebook was generous to you because I'm going to guess probably because most other people are not comfortable doing what you and I are doing right now. Very few are, as you know. Yeah. And so just getting out there and just having great conversations with people like yourself and, you know, all right. So then from Facebook, then you did some strategic advertising of the show.
Yeah. Facebook ads, for example, and then email lists. I guess there is a third thing. So we emailed our list and we grew our list and kept emailing them. We did some Facebook ads, which at the beginning was horrible because all we were doing was boosting posts. I didn't realize how ineffective. Didn't realize that it wasn't going to work very well. So it took a little while to get better at the Facebook ads. But the other thing is doing what we're doing right now, collaborating, getting on your show, because there you have people that listen to your show that have never heard of me. And I hate to admit it, but it's true. But at the end, you know, maybe one or two of them will say, I like Adam. I want to follow Adam. I want to start my own podcast or whatever. So it's almost like I'm hacking into your network. And I started doing that more with my show, and that really added to the growth of the show as well.
I recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques, and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. And it took me more than 1 year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution. And you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. And I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the postage.
The Facebook ads boosting did not work. What did work?
So I actually hired somebody who knew how to do Facebook ads, and he slapped me virtually. He slapped me in the face, and he started doing, I don't know what it is, but he said it was way different than just boosting a post. Okay. So it would have a better call to action, and it would get in front of more people. I would have to ask him, and he's not here, but it's like creating an ad specifically for each podcast episode. So all of a sudden, this is a good hack for anybody listening. There's something called, I think it's a website called answerthepublic.com. I think that's what the website is. So you type in answerthepublic.com, and what you'll do is, if you're in real estate or if you're in podcasting like I am now, you'll go in and you'll look to see what people are searching for when they type that into Google. And I think it's called answerthepublic.com. But what they do is they tell you all of the questions that people are asking. And so you can go into a lot of your old previous episodes that you've recorded, and you can title them similar to what's on Answer the Public. And then you'll make a Facebook post that jumps out in front of people that says, you know, here's the question you want to know, and this is your answer. You know, click here to listen now. So that's what we started doing. And it ended up being able to really get in front of new listeners, that because it was something that people already wanted to know.
So you would say that, do you attribute the success more so to one of those strategies rather than the other? I mean, you gave us 3 strategies there, which was Facebook Live, Facebook advertising, and email call to action advertising.
Certainly, I want to attribute most of the success from free organic traffic, from getting on other people's shows and doing our show Facebook while on Facebook Live, because that's something that most people at least have the budget for free. And so I want them to be able to have those takeaways, to be able to say, hey, if I don't even want to spend $5 a day, I can still do these 2 things and be able to grow my show. So I definitely want to throw those out. But at the same time, I think that if you can do all 3, then you're going to be able to get in front of the most amount of people. Your Facebook Lives are usually only getting in front of your friends and family. Sure. So not all of them are going to be your avatar. Not all of them are going to be your perfect listener, but it does grow the exposure and has them to be able to think of you, because you're the squeaky wheel. The squeaky wheel gets greased. You're always in front of them, and they'll be able to say, oh, you got to listen to my son. My buddy Adam is the person that's going to be able to help you. It's definitely a huge benefit to do all 3 if you can afford to also do the Facebook advertising.
Adam, you're reminding me, I have to go have a conversation after this with my mother.
Love it.
So what mistakes have you made?
Well, the first mistake was expecting that just having a show was the end all be all, that I was going to be famous just because I was a podcaster, and thinking that I was just going to leave everything into the hands of iTunes, of Apple, to get myself in front of people. So that was the first mistake, is just expecting that they would take care of everything. Another mistake that would definitely be valuable to whoever's listening, if they're going to be starting a podcast, is I neglected to understand my avatar to the core. I didn't title the podcast the correct title to attract who I wanted to attract. And I've seen it's about 80% of podcasters make that same mistake. They title it something where they think, oh, I can add value here, just like I did. I knew how to close deals without my own money. I was good at it. I had been doing it for 12 years or something before I started my podcast, 11 or 12 years. And so all of a sudden I jump in and I start adding value to that person. And my business wasn't growing the way that I wanted because I was attracting the wrong avatar. I was adding value, but it wasn't adding value to my business. I was adding value to other people and doing a good thing. And so that's a huge, huge mistake that anybody who's starting a podcast, they're told, ready, fire, aim, just start. They're told, don't overthink it. When I was told that, I jumped in without having a plan. And so, you know, ready, aim, fire. That's the right way to do it. Having a plan. What is Stephen Covey wrote a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Well, I was less effective because I didn't begin with the end in mind. Beginning with the end in mind, understanding what you're trying to achieve, how you're trying to achieve it, understanding your avatar or your perfect listener, your perfect client. How do I add value to them? Understanding how many kids they have, what part of the country or the world that they live in, what they're nervous about, what they're stressed about, what keeps them up at night, what they're trying to achieve, and where they are, where they're looking for this information, and being able to identify that avatar and understand them so well that you can answer their questions before they even ask it. Was something that I didn't do. 80% of podcasters, and again, this is a made-up statistic. I'm thinking around 8 out of 10 people that
82%, I think.
Okay, perfect. So, but it feels like from all the podcasters that come to me and ask me to rebrand, 8 out of 10 of them, they'd never thought about this stuff ahead of time. They were just told, just start, ready, fire, aim, don't overthink it. And that drives me crazy because you're going to launch a podcast that you're not even pulling in that right person. And I did it too. I just hope that we can help other people not do it.
Sure. And I think that you could justify ready, fire, aim in the sense of what are you firing at? And what I hear you saying is that the first shot that you're sending isn't I'm going to go live. The first shot that I'm sending is I'm going to do my market research and have an understanding of who I'm communicating with.
I love that.
Right. So you can still accommodate the let's get, because I have a coach that coaches me often say, Dan, it's like launch and adjust. And I agree with that. There are some things foundationally that are going to be hard for you to change in the future, such as a book title, such as a podcast title, such as a business, taking an understanding of, well, how's this going to show up into the future? Now, I wouldn't launch it, Justin. Yes, do your due diligence on that. Just don't take the next 10 years to figure it out. So there's the other side of that as well. Would you agree with that, Adam?
Yeah, I do. I think that that's smart, and a lot of people are missing the boat there. So they got to listen to you.
Yes, listen to Dan. If you haven't gotten anything else out of this conversation with Adam, not this teaser. So what would you say was your biggest success in the podcast? What was your biggest benefit?
In the one that I sold, the biggest benefit was that I grew a pretty remarkable following, listenership, people that trusted me, that believed in me, that wanted to do anything that I suggested, that knew that I came from a place of integrity, and they shared the podcast with lots of friends. Coming from a place of value when you launch your podcast is something that a lot of people don't do. but I was blessed because I felt like that was the right way. And I always thought of the listener first, always thought of giving before I ever received anything. And because of that, the show started growing organically based on referrals, for example. And so when you start your podcast, if you can always think of what's in it for the listener, I think that's going to be the best route to go. And that was one thing that I did intuitively without being told. I just wanted to add value to other people, wanted to give them actionable takeaways, things that were beneficial for them to be able to jump in and do this, the business, with even without me. So if anybody takes the good thing that I did was added value to others, and they should too.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way. And it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
So you're currently hosting the Apartment Investing Show, as well as the podcasting podcaster. I know I haven't
said that. Yeah.
Tell me the second one.
We call it POP. Podcast on Podcasting.
I love it. POP. And how old are those two shows?
As we're recording live today, one of them, the Apartment Investing Show, has been on YouTube for a while. It's launching on iTunes this week. And then Podcast on Podcasting has a launch date of April 2nd. We've recorded about 30 or 40 episodes so far. And we have at least 20 more scheduled before the launch. So we'll have about 60 episodes, and we'll be able to go a daily podcast starting on April 2nd. I didn't want to be April Fool's Day.
No.
So we went for the 2nd.
Will that be 5 days a week when you say daily?
It'll be seven. It'll be 30 days a month for the first 2 months. And good takeaway for your listener, if they're going to be launching a podcast, they don't have to get crazy like I am doing daily episodes for a couple of months. But there's a lot of benefit that you can get by putting out more content in the very beginning. For example, number one, launching more episodes than just one on the first day. And so I recommend doing six on the first day if you can, or at least three. And then I like to say with the first 8 weeks, there's a lot of people that understand or have heard this as well, that the first 8 weeks of the podcast launch is kind of a critical area where you want to do everything you can to get in front of the right people. Okay. And so I'm doing a couple things during the 8 weeks. I'm publishing tons of content, and I'm going to be marketing it as well really heavily with Facebook ads. And now we have a lot more marketing. We can talk. We have more than a dozen strategies that we use now. I'd be more than happy to go into that. But we're going to be blitzing this thing like we're playing football. We're going all out. Everyone's jumping in and doing a blitz. We're posting it everywhere. We're putting as much content out as we can. We're inviting people like you to come on our show and hoping that you'll share the episode when it goes live. And so we want to have as many people as possible that we have on our show sharing it all in that first 8 weeks while we're doing paid marketing and doing our own email. And that should really, really blow it up. So I fully anticipate at least 100,000 downloads in the first 8 weeks, and which is remarkable compared to most podcasts.
Sure. What are some of the other dozen or so strategies?
One is we go to blog where people are podcast listeners. So we'll go and put a banner ad on a podcast blog where people are already there looking for a show to listen to, but they're seeing your show first. Okay. That's one. Another one is industry related blogs. So it's the same thing, doing a banner ad. But if you have a real estate show, we're doing these banner ads in real estate blogs. Or if you have a podcasting show, we do it in podcasting blogs. Or if you're a doctor or whatever, we'll do the medical blogs. so that your perfect client can find it easier. So those are a couple of great ones. One that's interesting that most people don't do is I have my team of virtual assistants. We do a private message campaign. So we'll message people on LinkedIn as well as we'll message people on Facebook. So we might go to like a Facebook group, and instead of just making a post on the group, I'll just have the team connect with members of the group that says something to the effect of, oh, I saw that you're in the medical group, and so am I. Was wondering what podcast you listen to. And then maybe they'll give us a couple of podcasts, and maybe we'll say in response, have you heard of Dan's podcast? I just listened to one of the episodes today and it was awesome. So we do this as a third party for people as well. So that's one way, is private messaging people on Facebook groups or on LinkedIn. It's pretty easy because as we jump into LinkedIn, you can say, you can search for people based on their location, their job title, and so many more things.
Sure.
We'll filter it out through LinkedIn to get your perfect avatar. And then we'll start private messaging them as well, connecting with them, asking them questions, finding out if they've heard of your show. And so that's another great way to do it. Another thing, this is kind of second level and a lot, and I don't even all the way understand it. It's just I manage it and I have a team that does the rest. But we'll scrape the data from LinkedIn. We'll scrape the data and then we'll skip trace the data. And so then we do Facebook ads and LinkedIn ads, and we use pixels. So on the Facebook ads or the YouTube ads or the LinkedIn ads or whatever ads we're doing, there will be an image on the Facebook. And if they click it, now we can follow them around on other places. And it makes it a lot less expensive for us to stay in front of them because we can follow them on multiple different platforms. What's really interesting about that, utilizing the pixels, is they will, as we're also private messaging them, they're seeing, like if we're doing the marketing for your show, Dan, they'll see your show all over the place and they'll be hearing a third party say, this is a great show. And to them, they'll be, whoa, how did I not hear of this? And it kind of, it really increases. Yeah. That was like 7 ideas. So hopefully that's enough. We could keep going, but I'd have to pull up my list in front of me to share everything that we do. But that's a lot of stuff that we'll probably be doing on both of these launches. We're jumping out. We're doing it as much as we can to get in front of the right people. So,
well, Adam, I hope that I'm going to be able to help you in that launch as well. And it would be my pleasure to be able to help promote both of your podcasts and help to get you some listeners, because I know just by talking to you that you have a lot of value. One of the things that I most appreciate about you is that you started with, hey, I've got to give value. I have to give who the listeners, what they want to hear is what I have to, you know, deliver to them and be able to help and develop them. So that's fantastic, Adam. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
If I want to be a podcaster in the near future, or if I'm an already existing podcaster, or if I'm a real estate investor, and I want to know more about you, Adam, how do I get in touch with you?
Best thing to do is probably to go to growyourshow.com. The main business that I am growing right now is supporting podcasters. So we either do a launch and all the marketing and all the post-production if you're brand new, or we just do the editing and the promotion at the same time. So post-production and all your marketing. So those are the two packages, either if you're brand new or if you already got it, then we can take off all this pressure so that you can kind of just push record and we'll take care of growing your show.
Adam, you're fantastic. Thank you. Have a beautiful day. Thanks again, Adam.
Thank you, Dan.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-Step Guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership at the Consistent and Predictable Income Community on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
This is Mitch Steven. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing Dan Roshan.
Dan is a top team leader in the DC area with Keller Williams. And he breaks down his journey. He's somebody that, you know, struggled for the first 6 months like so many real estate agents do, and then something clicked.
He helped me tremendously, specifically with creating systems in place.
It's very important to have a process in place that works, not just for you, but for also the client.
If you are still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success. If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.